Good evening.
Good evening.
So good to be with y'all once again, and thankful for the visitors that we have here from good old Bear Wallow. So thankful and just thankful for everyone that is here. One thing that is healthy for a preacher to do, and sometimes it very much humbles himself, is they will ask for feedback, and sometimes the people that will tell you straight is your family. So today, afterward, you know, I always encourage feedback, and I ask my family, well, how did you think? And my mom comes home and she says, I have the biggest headache now. So I hope, I know she's going to be like, I'm going to beat him. But I hope that I didn't give you a headache this morning. I'm so thankful for everyone that came back, and just so thankful for the time that we have together. This evening, I want us to talk about a question that I suspect every single person has potentially asked in their walk with Christ. Or maybe you have had somebody ask you, you've encountered someone that has wondered this question, again, in their walk as a Christian. Or maybe this person isn't a Christian, but they have wondered this. And the question that I want us to consider this evening is this: do I need to be baptized again? And I want to tell you, I have encountered many people in my walk in various places, whether, you know what, Tyler, I was baptized a long time ago, and I don't know if I did it for the right reason. Should I do it again? Or maybe they came from somewhere and they needed to be brought into a realization that, you know what, I wasn't baptized correctly when I was, you know, in my walk or in my journey, and I was under another idea, so I want to make sure that I've done it the way God wanted me to become a Christian. And I think that is a very good question for us to consider. And I want us to answer this in three key points, three different things, because what ultimately matters in this life is ensuring that, number one, that we obey the gospel correctly and that we are living properly. Of course, again, we will never live good enough to get to heaven. We have to be saved and come in contact with the blood of Jesus. So this is the question that I want us to consider with the time that we have. And the first point is this: there is biblical precedence for rebaptism. And you're probably thinking, what? Well, turn with me over to Acts chapter 19. Let's start there this evening. So Acts chapter 19, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7, and I want us to see what Paul had to say about some people that he came in contact with. Okay? Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. Paul says this, or the writer of Acts says this, encounter with Paul. Luke here says this, and it happened, while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So he said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that he should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when, verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now all the men were 12 in all. Now, I want us to start there because there is a scenario where there were people back in that day, and that was kind of a crazy time where you had people who were baptized under John the Baptist baptism. That's when baptism became into play, and we've talked about that before. I'm sure you talked about it at length before, but then whenever Jesus goes to the cross, they then had to be baptized into Jesus. So there was a change. There was a change that took place. John's baptism was preparatory, but in that moment, his baptism was no longer valid. Consider this illustration for just a second. Let's say that I had two tickets to the new Nashville soccer team in Nashville, and that game was to be played tonight. I kept the two tickets, but yet, say a year from now, I try to get into that game with those two tickets that were only meant for that. Could I still get into the game? No, I couldn't, because those tickets were no longer valid. That's the point here with what the section of Acts is talking about. Their baptism was no longer valid, so they had to do it again. So that is the first point to consider, is that. Now, the second point that I want us to consider with this is this right here. And this is where we're going to spend the crux of our time this evening. And as we're going through this, I want us to be asking ourselves this question, because I have preached this before in other places. And the first time that I heard a lesson similar to this, it was from my preaching mentor, Steve Higginbotham, and he preached this to a pretty large congregation. And you would not believe the amount of people that responded at the end who had had that doubt, and had that had been nagging at them for a very long time. They were waking up, they were worried, because they were wondering, am I truly saved? Did I truly do it correctly? So the next two points will be the rest of our lesson, okay? And the next point is this. So when should one not be baptized again? When should one not be? And there's two sub-points that I want us to consider. And the first sub-point is this, is when we have learned more and matured. Write this verse down, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and turn there with me, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Peter here writing has a very important thing to consider. And I'll read verse 1 just so we get context. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, the text says this. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Peter here writing to the group of people said this, when I was once of the world, I had these things in my life. Those things were what? Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy. And he is, maybe we don't have that specific thing before we become a Christian, but he says, one once walked this way, but whenever I become a Christian, he describes that person as a what? A newborn babe in Christ. When a child is born, they do not automatically know when they come out of their mother's womb how to walk, how to talk, how to eat properly, how to speak at a high school level. They have to grow. When I come up out of that watery grave of baptism, it's like a new birth. I'm expected to grow. That does not mean that I become a Christian and obey the gospel, get baptized, but I work a little bit, but then I maintain. How many times maybe we've seen people who become a Christian and they're baptized and they grow a little bit, but then their growth stops. God's expectation is what our growth keeps happening. Amen? It's exponential. It doesn't mean that we stop and we just give up and we say, well, I try to be the best person that I can, but you know what, God, I only want you this much, but I'm satisfied. No, His expectation is we keep growing because we're trying to become more like who? We're trying to become more like Jesus. And that means that if I have things in my life that I need to get out, you get out of it. So if I become a Christian 10 years now, I've learned more. Does that mean I look back and say I wasn't ready at baptism? No. That simply means that you've done exactly what God expects of you. You're growing. We should all grow. When I was baptized, for example, I did not understand the concept of providence. I didn't understand that. Does that mean that my baptism was invalid? No, but I learned and I grew. And the second sub-point is this. Why should one not be baptized again? Well, because I feel guilty for sins that I've committed. I've run into many people who think and say and believe that, well, Tyler, I've really messed up. I fell away from God. I fell away from the church, and I just feel like I need to redo it again. And I feel like I didn't do what I was supposed to when I first became a Christian. Well, let me consider this with me. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, turn over there with me. We're going to be turning quite a bit tonight. That's okay. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to consider a character here who made a big mistake. And let's see what happened. What was his expectation to get better? Was his expectation to get baptized again? Well, let's see what the Bible says. And I'm going to begin in verse 14. Okay? And it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 14, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." Verse 18. "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money." So Simon had a self-interest in having this power to lay on the hands because he wanted that notoriety. Verse 19. "Saying," this is Simon speaking, he says, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But notice what Peter says in verse 20. "But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." Now, quick backstory to Simon. Simon was baptized in the first part, verses 9 through 13. So he's a baptized believer. He's a Christian. Saved just like you and I have been. But then notice what Peter says in verse 22 that he needs to do. Now that he has made a mistake, look at what Peter says he needs to do. He says, "Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Notice that Peter did not say, "Well, you obviously weren't serious whenever you became a Christian. You got to get baptized again to go through, you know." He didn't say that. He said, "Repent, ask God for forgiveness, and keep moving forward." If I make a mistake, and by the way, I've made plenty in my lifetime since I've become a Christian, does that mean that I wasn't serious? No. What is it that we read? That the blood of Jesus continually cleanses whenever we ask for forgiveness in Jesus' name after we become a Christian? If that is a weight in your life, let not that be a weight anymore. If you simply pray to God and ask for forgiveness, and by the way, we don't have to do it after the sermon on a Sunday or a Wednesday, amen? We can ask for forgiveness at any time. Midnight, 2 in the morning, it doesn't matter. God is right there listening. Very powerful. Turn with me also to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Just another verse to write down under this point. When should one not be baptized again? This is still under because I made a mistake. I love what 1 John 1:9 says. And sometimes it just helps to be reminded of certain things. In verse 9 it says this. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness." He does not mean and He does not say that God is only going to forgive us of some unrighteousness. He forgives us of all unrighteousness. So Tyler, you mean that no matter what I've done, He will forgive me? Yes. Even after you become a Christian? Yes, He will. Because if I look at God and I say, if God were to say, "I don't forgive X sin, but I forgive all the others," here's what He is insinuating. He is saying that the death of His Son was not powerful enough. I'm going to tell you, the death of Jesus was powerful enough for every single person in this room to be forgiven and saved from their sins. Amen? Every single person in this room, no matter no matter what you've done, once you reach that age of accountability. So we talked about there is biblical precedence for rebaptism. We talked about when should one not be baptized again. Now let's get to, and this will be the rest of our lesson, when should one be baptized again? And I have 4 points under this point, 4 sub-points that I'm going to go through, okay? So when should one be baptized again? And let me offer this first idea and sub-point to you. When I have been baptized via the wrong mode. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Paul here writing to the church at Rome has very powerful things to say whenever it comes to being alive in God, being dead to sin in chapter 6. He talks a lot about this in these first few verses. And that's oftentimes if you are, we go to church camp every year with some churches in Kentucky at a big reading Christian camp. And when someone is baptized, they will read this scripture to remind the kids that this is why we do it. We don't do it just to impress people around us. This is why a person chooses to become a Christian. But look at verse 4 of chapter 6, via the wrong mode. Romans 6 verse 4 says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And one of the key words there that we see is the word buried. Baptism, whenever we do it, is a legit burial. That is why we do it in the way that we do. That's why there's a baptistry behind me, or there is a, we have one at Bear Wallow as well. That's why we go down into it, because what are we doing? We are recreating the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We are obeying the gospel when we are baptized. There's a whole lot that is going into it. And sometimes there are other entities that will say, well, I can be baptized by simply pouring a cup of water over my head or having water sprinkled upon me. I have been baptized then properly. Well, I would have to ask you or ask that individual, well, have you done it the Bible way? My dad did construction for a long time, and he still does. He worked for the county highway department. And just imagine if one day, out on one of our back roads, the county dug into the road to put in a pipe so that water could go through it. And just imagine if that pipe was laid out in there, but then they just took and brought a cup of dirt and just poured it over that pipe and left. What's the problem? Has the pipe been buried? No, it has not. Buried is whenever it's fully encompassed and you can't see it anymore. When I am baptized in the correct mode, I go underneath the water. My old man, figuratively, when I step in that water, my old man is dying. When I go underneath the water, it's buried. Now I come up and I'm a new creation. I am now a saved individual in Christ. And I begin my walk. That's the mode that we must be baptized by. And if you have not been baptized in that way, then you need to consider that. A second point is this. When should one be baptized again? Whenever they've been baptized for the wrong reason. The wrong reason. Turn with me, we're in chapter 6, verse 4. Look down with me in verse 17. Verse 17. Paul says this, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. When I become a Christian, it is an individual choice for me to do it. A lot of times, and let me give you some situations when people obey the gospel for the wrong reason. Well, people in my youth group are doing it, so I'm going to do it also. I've had a lot of people come, sorry, not a lot, but I've had some come to me in the past and say, you know what, Todd, when I was in the teen group at church, we come back from church camp one time and one person started than another person, so I thought I had to do it so I could still fit in. I didn't truly do it for the right reason. Well, the issue is I didn't obey it from the heart because it wasn't my personal choice. I did it to please people. And the question that I would ask is, in that moment, is repentance involved? If I'm freely choosing it just because a group of people are doing it, well, no, I'm not truly repenting of my sins. Or is it done solely on emotion? That's an emotional response. Here's another reason why, another wrong reason for why people get baptized. I did it because I wanted to please my mom and dad. But a lot of times, some said that in the past. Sometimes I've heard people say I wanted to get them off of my back because they were kind of, felt like I was being pressured to do it. I did it to leave me alone. And these are not good reasons because, hey, there are some people who out of the sincerity of their heart get baptized but have no idea why they are doing it. And God wants us to understand fully why it is that we're doing it. God does not expect us, though, on the caveat of that, again, He does not expect us to know everything. Sometimes people will say, well, when will I know when to become a Christian? Well, here's the answer that I give in my experience. How will I know for sure? We talk about the age of accountability. Scriptures are a magic number. We oftentimes say 12 or whatever, but again, it's like parents must be a part of the process as well, but it's an individual's choice. But here is what I have heard preachers say, and I believe it to be true as well. When an individual realizes the point at which they know what is wrong in their life that they need to change, and they realize that they need a Savior, and they get to a point to where they say, if I die tonight, I know where I'm going to go, I'm not saved, they're ready. Amen?
Amen.
When I realize that, I'm at the age of accountability. Well, but Tyler, but don't I need to know like everything about the Bible and everything about every book and everything about... No, you don't. Again, when I become a Christian, I'm a newborn babe in Christ. I'm growing. So the expectation is once I do become a Christian, I better be growing, because if I just become a Christian, obey the gospel, get baptized, go through the steps and everything, but then I stop and go to and quit church, you're once saved, always saved, right? No. You can't fall away. That's why God expects us to have a continual relationship with Him, still be involved in the church, worshiping when we're appointed to be. Another reason that people give for why they obey the gospel is this: because I did it not knowing that it is to receive forgiveness of sins. Some of our friends in the denominational world teach, and I just already said it, but that a person is saved before baptism. Thus, a person goes into their baptism with the idea that what they are doing is an outward showing of an inward change. However, I would ask the question, what does Acts 2.38 teach us? Acts 2.38 tells us that, let's look at it, just so we can see it. I see a lot of people into it. Let's look at Acts 2.38. Turn there. Many of us could probably quote it, but it's very healthy for us to see it too. Acts 2.38. The writer here, Luke, says this. This is the day of Pentecost, one of the greatest days of the church in its existence. And in Acts 2.38, Peter says this, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Repent, he says. What does repentance mean? Repentance means it's a changing of mind. I was once walking one way, now I'm going to change my walk and start walking a different way. I was once walking in sin and of the world and how they think, but now I'm going to repent and I'm going to start thinking how God thinks. That's what repentance means. But then he says this, "Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Why? For the remission of sins. A lot of people will say, well, again, baptism, but that's not what my text reads. Baptism is a part of the salvation process because I have to have remission of sins. And I only do that through coming in contact with the blood of Jesus. And we do that through baptism. So there is a purpose for why we are baptized. And then I've heard it said this way before. I cannot remember why I did it, Tyler. It has been so long ago since I did it. I remember a story that I heard a preacher tell one time. This man had preached the gospel for And yes, this number is correct. He preached it for some 60 years. And this preacher and this preacher friend were talking one day, and this preacher who had been preaching the gospel for some 60 years called his preacher friend and said, "Brother, I need to talk to you about something." Of course, the brother's like, "Well, okay, well, what do you need to talk about?" And he said, "Well, I have had something on my mind and my heart for a very long time, and I just got to get off of my chest." Of course, again, he's thinking, "What? Okay." The preacher said this. He said, "I have people come into my office, and I counsel and I teach them how to become a Christian. But yet for the last 40 years plus, I have laid my head down at night worried that I did not get baptized for the right reason." And the preacher friend said, "Well, you know what? That says a lot about you. Let's take care of that right now." And that preacher who had been preaching for some 60 years, then is baptized and got that weight of worry off of his back. One of the things that preachers do, or other preachers do it now too, is whenever a child decides to become a Christian, when I say child, again, we say 12 years old, but so that child does not forget, here's what some preachers are doing, and I love this idea. They have an audio recording, and they will have that child state their confession, why they're doing it, and then put on a CD, and they can save it for later. The way they ever worry or question, "Did I get baptized for the right reason?" "Oh, I did. I did." And they have that blessed assurance and know for sure why they became a Christian. Again, is this a question that is important? It is. I guarantee you there may be one person in this room or others that have asked themselves that question. You know, many years ago, did I get baptized for the right reason? Did I do it correctly? You know, what we have talked about, and I'm not done yet, but what we have talked about is tantamount. That's what we're working toward in this life, is salvation. And our home is in heaven once we do that. A place where there is no suffering, a place where there is no pain, a place where there is no strife and fighting and the chaos that we have in our world today. Doesn't heaven sound amazing? Amen. It does. It's a place where we will not have to worry about, "Well, brother, sister, so-and-so ain't here this week." We will be together forever. And that's why heaven is so beautiful. That is why, and I've used this illustration, so my family and friends from Bear Wall will be like, "Yep, you said it before." But I illustrated this way a lot of times. Imagine if I had a rope that I had stretched, and it went through the wall. You didn't see the end of it, but I had this portion of it. This portion was wrapped up with tape, black tape, but the rope itself was white. That black amount of rope is your life on this earth. The rest of the rope that doesn't have an end, that's our eternal existence with God. That doesn't have an end. That is what we are working toward in this room tonight. You're here because your mind is focused on that and you're looking forward to that. That's why we say, "Lord, come quickly." Because we're looking forward to that. Because we have that blessed assurance. We have that hope. And God wants us to have that sense, that certainty. He doesn't want us to question or doubt or ever lay our head down at night and say and have that worry on our back that says, "Am I truly saved?" He wants you to have assurance. And there's a verse in Hebrews that I want to close with, and I want you to turn over there with me. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16. I've referenced this before in other places, but it's so powerful for my mind. I know it will be for yours too. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16, the writer says this. And of course, this is the chapter that talks about the roll call of faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Noah. What we call the roll call of faith. It talks about heaven in this way. It says, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. That Greek word there for city, that refers to a geographic location on a map. It's like pointing at Pleasant View, Tennessee, and saying it's action. That's how He is describing heaven. It's not just some made-up fairy tale place that's in a Disney movie or whatever type of movie you watch, but it's like a true, legit place. That's how real heaven is. Sometimes the world will attack, and it's attacking our young people more and more and more, especially on the college level if they go to a secular university, of how it is silly to believe in God and His way. But God's Word says that heaven is like a geographic location. I say that to say, as we come to a close, I say that all to say this. Every single person in here tonight ought to be able to walk out that door with assurance that they are saved, that they're a Christian. And if they're not, I hope that you decide to become one, or be thinking about it, find someone to talk to. Because God wants us all to have that assurance. That's why He sent Jesus to die on the cross. This morning, the brother, when we prayed for the fruit of the vine, the bread, you know, Jesus, He died for us. It was not easy. It was painful. But He did it so that every single person could have assurance. And that's my prayer for you this evening, for every single person, is to have that assurance. So maybe you're here tonight and you are subject to our invitation and you need to consider what we've talked about. Maybe you have been considering to become a Christian and just haven't taken that step because you're worried. Let me encourage you to do that. We can make preparation for you. The fine people here, we can do it. If you're subject to our invitation, why don't you come while we stand and while we sing?
Just wait.